Good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. We're at Applebee's on the Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. I'm your host, Dave Watson, and on the corner today we'll be joined by Sioux AAA Indians hockey player personnel director, Big Daddy Rick Corbier. Billet coordinator Jerry Harwood will stop by as well. Second half of the show, Brimley girls basketball head coach Matt Bathey is here. The Bays won a district championship for the second year in a row in girls hoops last night. They'll host Munising in the regionals on Monday. We'll talk to Matt coming up. All that this week in high school sports, what's on deck, and much more. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. Girls basketball, Sioux High fell to powerful Nagani 38-21 at the Sioux High gym in that district title game. Blue Devils kept it close as long as they could, but the Miners' depth a key factor, and they win down the stretch 38-21. Nagani will play Petoskey next in Manistique. Northman won a defensive battle in P-Town over Kingsley 31-27. 7 o'clock tip on Monday in Manistique between Kingsley and Petoskey. Other half of that bracket in regional play or coming up, it will be District 35 champion Ludington 36-23 over Reed City. They'll take on Clare out of 36, who ran past Shepherd 43-31. Locally, Brimley wins their second straight district title in Rudyard at the Harris Call Gymnasium on last night as they knock off Kinross Maplewood Baptist. Maplewood Baptist, a game team that hung around for a while at the Harris Gym, but the Bays veteran leadership was able to help down the stretch, and they win 46-39. And Matt Bathey will join us coming up second half of the show. They'll take on Munising. Will Brimley next in B-Town at the Parker Gym as Munising won a district title in 101 at Newberry 47-40. Munising plays Brimley in the regional semis in Brimley on Monday night at 7. Other half of that regional bracket, 103. St. Ignace thumps Mackinac City 74-33. Inland Lakes, Indian River dribble pass Ottawa in 104 46-38. Inland Lakes takes on St. Ignace in the regional 26 semis at Harbor Light in Harbor Springs at The Rock on Monday. Division 1 district final, Traverse City Central 10 better than Alpena 46-36. Around the UP we go, Division 3 65. It was West Iron County 59-53 winners. It was District 66 Harbor Springs slips by Bark River Harris 47-39. D4 District 97, Ewan Trout Creek, they win by 10 over Ironwood 52-42. In 98, Lake Linden Hubble 49-43 past Hancock. 99, it was Ishpeming rolling past Berriga 69-31 in action, or make it 63-31 in action last night. In 100, Kearney Nadu trips Norway 53-46. College basketball, GLIAC semis today at Northern Michigan. In Marquette at the Berry Center, Grand Valley State takes on Ferris at 1. Wayne State battles Northern Michigan at 3:30. Championship is set for tomorrow, 2 p.m. in Marquette. NCAA pairings announced tomorrow. Laker men still have a shot. However, one would think Wayne State upsets Northern Michigan, or if let's say Grand Valley perhaps wins a GLIAC title, you know, and sneaking past Ferris and winning the championship, then it's probably goodnight Irene to the season for the Lake Show. But they still have a chance. Women's GLIAC tournament today in Allendale, Michigan. Grand Valley State will battle Wisconsin Parkside at 2. Ferris State tangles with Northern Michigan at 4:30. Title game tomorrow at 3 p.m. On the ice, Laker hockey opened up the CCHA playoffs with a win on the road at St. Thomas, 4-1. In the first round of the playoffs, same two teams tonight in St. Paul, as the Lakers will then take on the Tommies tomorrow night. If the Tommies win tonight, the deciding game would be at 7:35 tomorrow on today's Hits 99.5 ESFM. Other CCHA action. Best of three format, remember. Minnesota State nips Northern Michigan 2-1. Michigan Tech blanks Bowling Green 5-0. And Bemidji State clips Ferris State and Bemidji 5-4 in overtime. Big Ten, their tournament underway. Best of three. Game ones last night. Michigan hangs on over Notre Dame 5-4. Minnesota buries Penn State in Minneapolis 5-1. Ohio State upsets Wisconsin in Madison 3-1. National Hockey Conference still in the regular season. Colorado College slips by Denver 4-3. Minnesota Duluth 6-5 in overtime past St. Cloud. Nebraska Omaha 3-2 winners over North Dakota. Western Michigan squeaks by Miami 3-2 in Kalamazoo. ECAC tournament, best of threes. Last night, game ones. Harvard blanks Princeton 1-0. St. Lawrence doubles up on Yale 4-2. Hockey East, regular season. Maine nips UMass 2-0. New Hampshire shuts out UMass Lowell 4-0. Atlantic Hockey playoffs game three, or rather best of three game ones. Last night, RIT Woodshed's Robert Morris 7-0. Niagara rips, or rather nips, Sacred Heart on the road 4-3. American International upsets Air Force 3-1. Holy Cross 4-3 winners past Canisius. Around the nation, regular season game, Alaska Anchorage scores a late goal to beat Arizona State up in Alaska by a score of 4-3 in action last night in college hockey action going on in non-conference play. Now, high school hockey state semifinals yesterday. Division III, Kingswood Cranbrook stuns Houghton. Not the score, or rather it's the score, not as much as they won. 5-0 as they knock off Houghton. Not shocking, Cranbrook won, but the score, a different story. Houghton never in the game. Cranbrook had three power play goals. Houghton really has one line, and Cranbrook shut him down. Mike Millett had two guys on him the whole game. If you recall, he had four goals and two assists against Sioux High in the quarterfinal last Saturday afternoon in Marquette. So now Cranbrook will move on to the championship game today. They will take on East Grand Rapids, who goose-eggs the Barrier Reps 3-0 yesterday in the other semifinal. D1, Detroit Catholic Central, Mercy Rules, Muskegon Reitz Puffer 8-0, Brighton 4-3 in overtime, past Clarkston. Today at the USA Arena in Plymouth, Division II title game underway as we speak. It's Trenton taking on Byron Center. D3 final at 3 p.m. Cranbrook battling East Grand Rapids in D1 at 7. And for the umpteenth time, they always play each other. Brighton will take on Detroit Catholic Central, and I'm not sure if Brighton's ever beat Catholic Central in that title game. They meet at 7 at the USA Arena for the D1 title. Sioux Greyhounds in action. They upend Guelph 3-1. Hounds host Windsor tonight at 6:35 on Rock 101. Round the O we go from last night. Sudbury slips by Windsor in a high-scoring game 9-8. Wolves, meanwhile, winning that game. And it was Saginaw 7-2 winners over Kingston. Kitchener 9-5 past Flint. London 6-1 over Sarnia. Oshawa 6-5. Or rather make it 6-4 over Brantford. Sioux Eagles win a shootout past Kirkland Lake 4-3, rather in the first overtime, we should say, at the Puller Stadium, 4-3 for the Eagles. Eagles host Blind River, the top team in the division, at 7 o'clock tonight. Sioux Thunderbirds off last night. They take on Kirkland Lake at the John Rhodes at 7 tonight. Other No Jackson, Greater Sudbury 9-3 winners over Elliott Lake. It was Hurst downing Blind River 6-2, and Powassan ices French River 5-2. Sioux Nordiques in UHL play. They're in the Derry State taking on Sun Prairie in Wisconsin at 7 o'clock tonight. Those are the scores that matter. When we return, we'll talk Sioux AAA Indians hockey coming up with Jerry Harwood and Rick Big Daddy Corbier. That's coming up next. This is Coach's Corner from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And we're back here on Coach's Corner as we are joined by our good pals of the Sioux AAA Indians hockey team. Of course, Big Daddy Rick Corbier is with us, along with the Jer Bear, Jerry Harwood. And, of course, the Indians season finished up last week at the state tournament. Good morning, guys. Thanks for joining us here to talk Indians hockey.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Dave.
Thanks for having us.
All right, let's talk about last week. And, Taylor, of course, you opened up with the win over Big B Coffee and lost a couple games after that. Thoughts on the overall weekend?
Well, you know what? I felt that we were in a pretty good bracket, you know, not being with the Victory Honda and the Bell Tires and the Caesars. And, you know, I thought that we had a shot. I thought the team was prepared, ready to go. And, you know, we knew Big B would play us tough, and we've come back on him a couple times this year. And it was just something that, you know, we went down early and kind of adjusted what we wanted to do. And our depth kind of hurt us, too. And, you know, you're playing a team that's got four or five, I think, there are six tenders on that team. And, you know, age-wise, you know, I don't like to use the age-wise thing, but, you know, as young as we were, I thought we played well enough to get that win and to move on.
You know, and you look at it, the win over Big B Coffee, having to give you guys a shot in the arm right off the get, and you were competitive, it seemed like, all weekend. Of course, the loss to Fox Motors, I think it was a shutout, wasn't it? But other than that, I mean, you played pretty good all weekend long.
Well, the kids played their heart out, and our goal was to make it to the tournament, and we had set that goal there. We finished seventh in the season. We got into the bracket. We had to fight to get where we were at, you know, 7 out of 9 teams. To beat Big B, that was a great accomplishment for the kids. They played outstanding. The second game, you know, the score wasn't truly indicative of how the game went because, you know, it was pretty close and tight all the way along, and then we got into some penalty trouble, and, you know, they popped us for four power play goals, and and that kind of takes the wind out of the sails of the kids. The last game against Oakland, you know, they played hard, but we, you know, we had one goal called back. We had a couple things that we thought didn't go our way, but that's hockey. But overall, for the entire year, the kids really put forth a good effort. You know, we ended up 20-34-0 with the team that, you know, we knew we were going to have to battle hard and learn, and they did. And that's all you can ask of the kids. And they got good looks. There was a lot of really upbeat comments about them from the scouts at the state tournament, and that's all we're truly looking for with these kids.
You know, Big Daddy, you look at it, you guys have been at this a long time, but the team just seems like to be last few years really even more competitive. A lot of that has to do with, of course, with you guys and, you know, the whole scouting department and Zeke, of course, quarterback and everything, and then having, you know, John Ferroni as the coach. It just seems like you guys have been really right there with these teams.
Yeah, you know, it's always a numbers game, Dave, you know, and we're not going to get the blue chippers. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it seems like every year that, you know, as far as the staff is concerned, we're always chasing players. And, you know, Dan's really chased players. I mean, he's on his phone steady and watching TV and watching the games if we don't travel to really get down. I mean, you can see just as much on TV at times. But, you know, it's just that the age thing. You know, I thought at the beginning of the year that we did have something. And it's numbers. I mean, you know, you go down to 9-10 forwards with 6-D, and, you know, you got forward moving back and back and forth to different positions. You know, it's just something that, you know, you got sickness, discipline. You're going to run into all of them problems. But, you know, I thought overall for the year, I thought that we competed in every game. Offensively, I mean, we lost a few goals. I mean, losing kids last year. And, you know, and the kids that we did lose, you're looking at the 25, 30, 40 goals. And, you know, you put that on our scoreboard right now, and we'd probably be playing today.
You know, and Jerry, you look at, you know, the course of the year. You know, what takes a, you know, we always say it takes a village to run this team, and you guys have a cast of thousands, but of course you, the billet coordinator, you know, you always like to, and we always do focus on that and thanking the, of course, families that host the out-of-town kids.
Well, it's, you know, you can put a team on the ice, but you won't have a program unless you have billet families. And we, this year we had great billet families. You know, we had Dave and Brenda Crimmon, Dom and Abby Chico, Ben and Artesia Volts, Alan Carriage, Alf and Jody Hoagland. They opened their house to these kids and treated them like family. And, you know, it's a big accomplishment, and it's, you know, it's a responsibility. It's a great experience 99% of the time. And, you know, we thank those people for that all the time. And, you know, you're always looking for people that are interested in doing it, and that's what makes the program run. Basically, everything else doesn't happen without those things in place.
And, you know, you look at it, Daddy, you guys have been around, you know, a long time as far as together, too, a core group, you know, the Zeke at the helm. And, of course, you and Jerry, you got the dapper one, Dan Lasley. It's been around the last several years. And Marty Picaro, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, you know, it's it seems like just yesterday we started this, and I was going to, you know, the season seemed like yesterday it just started, and here we are at the end. But, yeah, Jerry and I and Zeke and, you know, and a cast of others, you know, and Dan and Marty and, you know, Mark Meehan. I mean, you know, us three, and I don't want to single us out, but Jerry and myself and Zeke, I mean, we've been doing this for a lot of years.
Well, you have to look back at the entire program. I mean, this program was formed by parents in 1989 and originated as the Sioux Hawks. Transitioned to Des Moines when they were affiliated with the USHL team, and then became the Sioux Indians when the Sioux Tribe had the North American League team. And, you know, that honestly, this is the longest continuously running 18 AAA team in the United States. So it's been around, and we have good success with what we do.
You know, I'll go ahead and preview the fact that I talked to Zeke today, and, you know, before you guys came on, and we'll have Zeke on probably the last show, March 30th, it will be our last show, and we'll just focus on having Zeke on, and then, of course, we do some other things at the last show of the year. I do my prof lunch pail kids, you know, and we say goodbyes. So I figured, well, let's, we, you know, having Zeke in place, we'll have for the 30th, because I wanted to have Zeke on and because there've been a lot of rumors around the community, you know, we go ahead and, you know, let's not try to ignore it and sweep it under the rug. A lot, you know, what's going to happen with the Indians? Of course, you know, as Zeke said, my favorite line he used when he was out with Daddy back, I think in November, and he said, "Prof," he goes, "our combined age is 270." You know, and you guys have grandkids now, and you know, like Zeke is with his grandkids today. You know, he has a gymnast, a hockey player, and all that wants to, you know, enjoy life and you know, be able to go to that. You guys, of course, have other interests, but at the same time, you worry about the future of the program. You don't want to just discard it, and so there's some sensitive things going on. We'll have Zeke go about that, but you know, that's why Jerry brings up the history of the program, you know, because there is a long history.
Well, and I'll be the first one to tell you, the three of us and Dan and that will be involved in some capacity to guide whoever.
Right.
And Mike has had some good conversations, and he has some people that he's talked to about the situation. That's what his job is. He's going to find the best fit going forward, and that's where we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing, as I spill water all over the place, being a klutz, but nonetheless, you know, we'll leave that and we'll let Zeke get into the, you know, the deep part of it. But, I just wanted to bring that up. And, of course, you guys, the biggest thing is that I take away from this is if you guys just want to walk away and wipe your hands, you could do that. No one would say anything. But you guys have been at this a long time, and you care about the future of the program, you know, all of you, not just Zeke. Well, and that's the biggest part.
It becomes almost like your baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's – we've all been – at different capacities, every one of us, for the last 25 years at this game, I think. And, you know, we definitely want to see it succeed. Like, this year we had 12 kids, basically, were local kids. We had 7 kids from Sault Ste. Marie, our surrounding area, and 5 from across the river that played. And we were very, very competitive. You know, our unfortunate thing here is we develop kids, and our younger kids usually move on to programs, whereas a lot of the Detroit teams, they have kids, but they get kids back, you know. So when we're competing against them, we're giving up 2 years' age, where the difference between a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old is very drastic in mental and physical stature. But you know what? We've done a good job, I think, here of developing them and making them competitive and teaching them the game where they move on to succeed at the next level.
You know, Daddy, you and Jerry in particular have been in different various roles. You both were head coaches of this program at one point. Now more in a front office capacity, you've been player personnel director. But, you know, you left, of course, Joey Sean and the Sioux Indians and were coached down in St. Ignace. And then you got with Zeke, and, you know, you've been with Zeke and Jerry. And then Marty Picaro jumped on. And last few years we mentioned the Dapper one, Dan. You know, and then John Ferroni. So, you know, you've been through a lot of these, moving parts here the last several years.
Yeah, you know, it's just something that, you know, like Jerry was saying, it's pretty much our baby. And, you know, it's not going to go away, and that's a good thing, you know. If somebody was to ask me about the team today, I was going to say, yeah, the team's here. I mean, we will have a team at some capacity, you know, in the future. So, you know, I don't want to hit the panic button right now, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now, and, you know, maybe for the good, and we might be sitting here with you in October saying, hey, we're right back where we started at. You know, who knows? But, you know, it's not going to go away. You know, that's all I can say about that. It's not
basically,
go
you guys are just trying to transition, you know, a little bit away from it, you know, and not have to give the time that obviously, because you give a lot of time right now as it is, but transition to someone else that you know will be capable and be able to run this program. Well, is the way I see it?
Yeah, it's a big process. I mean, it's not like here. You know, here you go, here's the team. I mean, there's a lot going on. You know, Jerry does a lot of the administrative stuff. Bonnie, you know, got to mention her. She does a lot of work for us too, you know, in the background. And like Zeke, I mean, he's on the phone steady all the time, you know, doing the scheduling, sending out stuff for the busing. The financial end of the whole thing. Yeah, there's a lot to do with it here, you know. So, you know, my job is just to be that buffer and kind of help them out in certain capacities and help Jerry out in certain capacities when they need it. So, you know, like the whole staff, I mean, we try to keep our staff together as much as we can, but you got different avenues that you want to travel on, and, you know, hopefully we can start that in some way.
You expound on that, Jerry, like, you know, as you do run a lot of the administrative stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, in today's world, there's, you know, it seems like everything's become, we got to have a paper trail, and there's a lot more to do this, and there's, and for some of us, for a great purpose, you know, but it's very time consuming, and so there's a lot of intricate parts on, you know, just getting one kid to Sault Ste. Marie, to go to a billet family, to do things. There's a lot of working parts in that, and you have to try and make the best fit you can, and with the family and the kid and their needs and what they do, you know. And then you're looking at all the paperwork that you have to do with USA Harrier. This year we had, you know, the five kids from Sioux, Ontario, which they were natives, which that allows us to have them. But because of that, you still have to go through, like, feel like a ream of paper to send to Colorado for them to approve it. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, you're working with Hockey Canada, you're working with USA Hockey, and they're both very, very good at what they do. But until you know that process, it's for someone to walk in and say, hey, well, I'll just register the team, that would be a nightmare. So we're not going to leave wherever this goes, and if it ends up we're doing it again, we're not going to let someone there. We're going to be standing right next to them to make sure the process is correct and not leave someone hanging in that situation.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. Of course, you know, you look at it, guys, a good season for the Indians, you know, another strong season. And, of course, you know, you guys have been at it a long time. But either way, we wish you the best of luck. And imagine we'll have you on either way next year if you're still involved and the program's still here, which we hope it is. And we'll get more into that. And Zeke may have – I would have to think, you know, when we have him on the 30th, we'll have more information for the folks, too, before, you know, we leave Coach's Corner. But I really wanted to have Zeke on, you know, as you guys know, because, you know, he'll have more information, you know, than what you guys are able to provide. And at that point on the 30th, hopefully we have more info at that time.
And it always makes it nice, Dave, to get away for a week or two just to get back and settle back in and see what lays in front of you. And, you know, it'll probably be a good time, like I say, you know, Zeke's going to have a lot on his plate right now to decide which way he wants to go with it. And, you know, he's the deciding factor in this whole thing. So, you know, we're still going to be here.
It's in good hands.
And he, you know,
he'll do the right thing.
And he collaborates with you guys because you've been, you know, with him. You've been quite the team with him for a long time. And I'm sure, you know, he'll certainly be leaning on you guys as well as the decision gets closer. Thanks for coming on, guys, bearing with me as we had technical issues. And also thanks for, of course, coming on, and another good season for Indians hockey. And we certainly appreciate you guys coming on all the time here over the years. And hopefully, if you're still around, we have you on next year as well.
Well, I'm sure that I'll be with you, hopefully, in some of the high school games. Yeah. Anyway. And by the way, in closing, I just want to congratulate Rick and Rich and Rodney on their season. I thought they had a great season for Sioux High hockey, and also the girls in basketball. You know, they had a pretty good run. So
boys basketball won a district title as well.
So Sioux High sports is still going.
Yep, still going. Thanks again, guys, for coming on. Jerry Harwood and Big Daddy Rick Corbier. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Matt Bailey will join us. He's been waiting a long time. We'll get Matt on. The Bays win another district title, and they're in the regionals at home on Monday. We'll talk to Matt when we return. This is Coach's Corner in 2 minutes. We'll be back from Applebee's on 1230 WSO.
The end of the winter season draws closer as a bunch of teams and individuals cap their season with MHSAA titles. From the cheer and the wrestling mats to the bowling lanes, we've got you covered. I'm John Ross, and this is This Week in High School Sports, powered by Michigan Student Aid. The second week of winter finals is behind us, and championships were won by 4 cheer teams, 4 boys bowling teams, 4 girls bowling teams, 8 individual bowlers, and 70 individual wrestlers. We'll try and get through as many as we can here. Starting with cheer, all 4 champions were crowned at McGurk Arena on the campus of Central Michigan University. In Division I, Rochester Hills, Stony Creek edged out Rochester Adams and Rochester High for the title. The 3 Rochester schools have combined to win the last 5 Division I titles. In D2, Allen Park won its 4th title in the last 5 years. Allen Park and neighbor Gibraltar Carlson have won every Division II championship since 2008. Croswell Lexington won its 2nd straight MHSAA championship in Division III. the Pioneers were 0.4 of a point better than runner-up Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. And in Division IV, Hudson has now won 5 consecutive D4 titles and 6 in the last 7 years. Trailing after round one, the Tigers easily outpointed the field in rounds 2 and 3. Complete coverage from Mount Pleasant is now available at MHSAA.com. It's time for Game Balls, when we highlight a trio of standout performances from the past week. First, Detroit Catholic Central's Darius Marinas. He won a 4th straight Division I individual wrestling title. He bested previously unbeaten Jaden Williams from Roseville for the championship. Marinas finished the year 50-0. Dundee's Cade Kloos also won his 4th straight Division III individual wrestling title. Kloos defeated Drew Hansen of Gladstone in the final. The 4 individual titles go nicely with the 4 team wrestling titles Kloos has helped Dundee capture during his career. And to Romeo sisters Belisha and Kaylee Manuel, who are now MHSAA champions in the girls division. Combined, the sisters were 49-1 this season.
For high school seniors, the matchup of the year isn't on the court. It's actually online. That's right. When you fill out the FAFSA, you know, the free application for federal student aid, you could also be eligible for thousands of dollars in additional money from the Michigan Achievement Scholarship. Now that's a matchup we can all root for. Get started today at michigan.gov/achievement. The Michigan Achievement Scholarship. It's a game changer.
Our weekly Be the Referee feature takes a look at the fine art of officiating with registered official Paige Winnie.
Throughout the high school hockey season, you are used to seeing 3 officials on the ice. But starting in the quarterfinal round, 4 officials are used. The 4-person system utilizes 2 referees and 2 linesmen, and that's used for quarters, semis, and the finals. This system allows for more coverage. The 2 referees can concentrate on penalties and other rules. The 2 linesmen, primary duties are offsides and icing. The move to 4 officials allows for more consistent coverage of the fastest game in the MHSAA. And like we do in other sports, the best officials are chosen for the final rounds.
Thanks, Paige. Now more than ever, we need officials. If you're interested, please go to the MHSAA website now to register. On the lanes, the Zeeland girls bowling team is the best in Division I. They knocked off South Lyon in the final. In Division II, Flint Kearsley won its 9th title in the last 11 seasons. Madison Heights Bishop Foley was the best in Division III. And Traverse City Christian defeated Bronson to win the title in Division IV. On the boys' side, Granville needed a tiebreaker win in the semifinals to make the finals, but when they got there, they dispatched Davison in the finals of Division I. Like their counterparts on the girls' side, the Flint Kearsley boys are also Division II MHSAA champions. Frankenmuth cruised to a title in Division III, and in Division IV, just as their girls' team did, Traverse City Christian captured the title. For more on all 8 team champions and to read about the 8 individual bowling champions, please check out MHSAA.com. We've also got complete coverage of all 5 divisions of the individual wrestling finals held at Ford Field in Detroit over the weekend. You've been listening to This Week in High School Sports, powered by Michigan Student Aid, a production of the MHSAA Network. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Ross. We'll be back next week.
Welcome back to Coach's Corner. Of course, we're at Applebee's here at the on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. Our second guest is with us, Matt Bathey, Brimley girls basketball coach. Thanks for coming on, Matt. Always good to have you on. And congrats on the 2nd straight district title last night over Kinross Maplewood Baptist. I was listening to the end of the game after I was leaving the Sioux High gym. I was like, oh, man, Kinross and Maplewood Baptist played you guys pretty tough. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
Oh, come on, Bays. Yeah, I got, you know, of course, I live out that way. My wife's a proud alum. That all, you know, part of it. But my biggest thing is my second guest. Come on, Bays.
Yeah.
We need Matt on tomorrow.
Yeah.
But your girls pulled it through with a nice win there last night. Congrats.
They did. Thank you. They Maplewood did play us tough. You know, they had a good season. We haven't played them. I haven't played them at all with the girls. You know, we watched some film on them. They're tough. They were tough.
You know, and you know, it's funny because I looked. It's like, wow, 19-3, and then they handled Pickford pretty good. You know, they kind of get caught in one of those teams under the radar. You kind of forget about because they're just there. But then when they in the last few years, they've had some pretty good athletes come through there. So really, not a surprise that they that they were in that game last night. Hey,
no, I mean we knew it was going to be tight. I mean I thought our pressure was going to bother him a little bit more than it actually did, and it did at times, but it wasn't consistent like it usually is with against other teams. We knew that if we just didn't beat ourselves, we probably could come away with a victory, and we did. We did. We played well when it mattered.
You know, I saw you guys in the, of course, the cancer game with me covering Sioux High, and I looked at Ray Bell and I said, you know, it's a Brimley team. It's going to be trouble and problematic. You know, even in that game, I could see, you know, your kids were competitive. I know going into the game, Pat Bennett said, you know what? He says he was coming off a tough loss to a really good Harbor Springs team. He says, we better be ready out in Brimley. He said, because that's a pretty good Class D school we're going to see. And he was concerned going into the game. And you know, you could just see that, you know, if they play their game, that your kids could be able to get it done and, you know, win that second district.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Sioux game, they're really good. And, you know, Pat's a great coach, and he always has his kid ready. But we knew that we could compete. We can compete with pretty much any team except Biggs. We have trouble. We're tiny.
Right.
You know, but we are fast, and we pressure, and we can play 32 minutes if we have to. Autum was really sick last night, and she just she powered through it, and she played 32 minutes. She's at the top of our press. I mean, that kid is just so tough. I can't. And she's the conference player of the year.
Yep, and we'll parlay to that. You know, Autumn Trombley, the conference player of the year. Of course, they had the league meetings last week. Tried to get Matt on last week, but they had him right on as the show was going to come on the air. So that wiped out both boys and girls. So, you know, we couldn't have anybody from there because they were busy voting on that. Autumn Trombley was certainly the player of the year, defensive player of the year, another Bay in Sierra LeBlanc for the Bays. And Sierra also was first team all-conference for the Brimley Bays, as was Addison Carrick for Brimley. And then honorable mention, Chendra Trombley, able to get the honorable mention for the Bays. So you had some really good accolades last week.
And Kendra's sister, Callie, all five starters are on the all-conference team.
Ah, yes, I miss Callie there. There's another one a very good notables for the Bays, you know, this year. And, you know, you look at it, Matt, you know, your team really has battled pretty good this year and all year, you know, right at the class of the EUP conference and able to win a regular season title and then win the district tournament as well. It's just a credit to your players.
Yeah, we're not really deep. I had six girls on the varsity team. I used the rest of them with five quarter girls, freshmen, two mm-hmm. freshmen, Lily Carrick, and Ava Elliott, and the two sophomores, Kamara Bader and Chloe Dumas. So we have six girls on the varsity. One's a sophomore, Callie. So they play a ton of minutes. Coralie Sepla is already also on varsity. They play a ton of minutes, and we've watched this. We press full court almost all game. We run, we push, we shoot a lot of threes. It's fun basketball to coach. These girls are just amazing, though. They just don't quit. Sierra really has been turning on her defense. She averaged six steals a game. She set a MHSA record against Harbor. Well, no. Yeah, it was Harbor Light the night that Autumn scored her 1,000th point. There was two records, two MHSA records. Sierra had 16 steals that game, and Autumn scored 21 points in the first quarter, both mm-hmm. MHSA records. And Sierra's closing in. I don't know how many she had last night, but she's closing in on a season record. She's at 130 steals this season so far. Before last night, so
you know, in Autumn, of course, you know, averaged, you know, 18.6 points a game, and the rebounds were at 5.5, very good numbers, and you know, in I believe 1,000 points she eclipsed this year, and in just has been a key leader for you this year.
All 4 years. I mean, she came up, her and Sierra came up as freshmen, five quarter girls a little bit, and then we moved, you know, up to sophomores, and they stayed on varsity there. But Autumn and Sierra both, Autumn scored 1,000, her 1,000th point. She's almost at 1,100 now. But Autumn and Sierra missed 16 games due to COVID, the seasons. Okay. So she would have had the school record in scoring, and Sierra would also have been a 1,000-point scorer if it wasn't for the COVID missing seasons. So they missed almost the whole season, and, you know, they're both 1,000-point scorers. But I'll tell you what, those girls are just tough.
That's a good point to bring up the obstacle of COVID because, you know, my wife Connie and I have talked about many times, you know, about the younger basketball and you know, we've seen a little bit of a hitch with development. Yep. And Connie says all the time, it's the COVID year.
It was.
She says it killed those poor kids in that situation.
Yeah, this year's eighth grade class really got hit the hardest. It was, for some reason, that's my daughter's class. That group of kids, boys and girls, basketball suffered. And I saw it coming in elementary, watching the elementary the last few years. It just changed. It changed everything. It changed the landscape of high school sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I started the Brimley Youth Basketball League also. That's on Sundays, and this year we have 168 kids in it.
And that's big, you know, to have something like that because, you know, I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. She was helping out a friend in Rudyard, coach, I think the, you know, I think it's seventh grade, and she was saying, you know, it was a little rough or whatever, but I said, you know, that's so important at that level and even on down, the development. Hey, Matt, you know, to be able to develop, you know, skills, sets, and fundamentals at that level. And when you get to you at the varsity level, you know, it just makes things a lot easier. It's easier said than done, though, in a lot of places.
It's tough, you know. I mean, I'm big on the elementary and the youth leagues. You know, we put a lot of time into it, and that's what is happening now. Like you know, our elementary program is great. I mean, we got a ton of kids out. Our junior high program now is getting more. But that was the COVID year. We're kind of low on kids that year, those years. But our seventh grade group is tough. Our sixth grade group is tough, all the way down. And then I started the youth league. Now that's kindergarten, first grade, and second and third grade. So every Sunday now for the next 6 weeks, minus the 2 weeks of break, we got, you know, so through the end of April, we have teams from all over the EUP coming in. I have 15 teams coming in every Sunday. And I opened it up to everybody because we had a league in we. Everybody was in the leagues in the Sioux, and we wanted to make it bigger, better, mm-hmm. and we did. And we opened it up, and everybody loved it. So we did it again this year.
Good stuff there. Matt Bailey, Brimley girls basketball head coach with us. Bays winning a district title, 46-39 over Maplewood Baptist. It's 11:48 here on the corner. Now you get ready for the regional semis. Munising on Monday night, and the best part about it, you don't have to go too far. You're at the Parker Gym on Monday.
I loved it. We had a chance when I took over AD. We haven't been hosting regionals, and we have a beautiful gym.
I was going to say, yes.
You know, and it's one of the best, if not the best, in the UP.
I agree.
I think.
Absolutely. You know, I agree with that.
I said, why are we not? So I looked on the MHSA website, and we weren't eligible to host. I said, mm-hmm. Well, let's start. So I hosted a girls volleyball regional this year.
Yes.
And then now we got girls basketball. I said, well, wait a minute. If we get girls basketball, if we win a district, we're going to have a home game.
Uh-huh.
So I love it. And Coach Mattson from Munising is not too thrilled about that. Oh. But he texted me last night. He said, some crafty guy. So
that's good stuff. You know, and that'll be a 7 o'clock game. And come on out. I might, if I get a chance, I'm going to make the turn off Piché down to Brimley for the game as well. 7 o'clock, the Bays will be in action against Munising. You know, you mentioned the fact of it is. There's no doubt about it. I'll say it, too. That's one of the best gyms around. It's a gorgeous gym for a Division IV gym and a really nice place. You know, Pelston gets to host a lot because they have a nice gym and they have their central location. But I remember years ago, back when they built that gym, I was doing the EUP Game of the Week on Hot Country 97.9. That's no longer around. But I remember Brian Riator giving me a tour of the gym and the beautiful new gym. And I remember Brian saying at that point, our whole goal now is to host regionals. I think they did that year or the year.
One year.
Yeah, they hosted one. I think Max City was really good, as I recall. And that was some of the premise that came out of that. But as time goes on, you know, things happen or whatever. But I've always said, Why aren't they hosting that? That's a beautiful gym there at the Carl Parker Gymnasium. I know a lot of people have said that coming from out of town and things of that nature, and it just is a bonus that the Bays are good enough to be able to play in that regional semi.
It. That's a huge advantage, you know? Yeah. Even like when I was with the boys and we had a regional move to the Sioux,
right.
That was like a home game, and I loved that, you know?
Right.
Last year we played in regional semis against Mackinac City in the Sioux, and it was like a home game for
us. And you pushed a really good Mack City team right to the end, and that, you know, those intangible advantages, like, you know, last night, you know, Sioux High losing to a very good Nagani team, and they pushed them for a while. But similar to Brimley at the D2 level, they don't have the size, and they're playing a team with a lot of depth. But like Pat said in his pregame interview with me, he says, the one of the advantages we have, we don't have to get on a bus for 3 hours.
Yep.
He said, and that
is huge.
And that is an intangible advantage. And hopefully we can get it. I'm sure they'll have a great crowd, because one thing you get really good crowd support in Brimley. You have a very good following. Yep. I remember doing the boys regional Matt Pocket. I won't, because I basically forced my way in and said, Matt, I'm being your color guy. Yeah, that's just the way it's going to be. And I went down to St. Ignace and Marcus Harris' senior year, the loss to Pelston. I remember driving back up, and it was like a tailgate.
Right.
Everybody's heading north. And that was, I was looking across, it was a sea of blue. I mean, you get a really good following. All the schools in the area do, but Brimley's at the top of the list.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we have some great fans, and they're passionate. You know, it's fun. It's fun when you win, I'll tell you that. You have a lot of friends, but you know, we get a good following, get a great student section. Even last night we had a great student section, so I'm sure that that's going to be a packed gym, because last year Mackinac City and the Sioux, we packed the gym.
And then, again, that plays a role.
Yeah.
You know, kids get tight and, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to that game on the way back from Gaylord. Ray Bell and I were listening, and I remember like, well, they may do this here. They may win this bad boy.
Twice that game, I said, we got this. Yeah. You know, in the third quarter, we went back up 7, and I thought we had it, and then just couldn't. But, they were a good team last year. It prepared our girls this year. The leftovers from the seniors that we graduated, the Autumn, Sierra, Kendra, they're ready. You know, they're ready for Monday. And we played Munising twice this year. We lost both times, but we were in the game both games, and I think we'll have something for them on Monday.
Good quality team, obviously, Munising.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, they're good. They're very well coached.
There's another line that I've used a lot lately, and, you know, I was talking about it with the Lake State men losing to Wayne State the other day, because I had a bad feeling about it. It's hard to beat a team 3 times in a season.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to look at that, too. But a good opportunity for your kids, you know, coming up on Monday night. And, you know, if you were to take a key or two away, Matt, from being able to get the dub on Monday, what would it be?
For
the
Bays,
yes.
What we need to do? Well, we got to handle their inside game. I mean, twice
they,
now.
They have bigs?
Bigger than us. and they're well coached, and they have great footwork. The last girl, Emmy Crisp is her name, she had 26 against us, and that's what killed us right there. We don't have any bigs. We're all guards. You know, we're tiny.
Right.
They can't deal with our pressure, so that's one thing. I'm sure they're going to be ready for it. But if we can stop the inside scoring against them, we'll be okay.
You know, and it's so often, you know, because, you know, like I said, Sioux High is similar as far as no bigs. And you know, Pat has mentioned it, you've mentioned it, is it comes down when you got to play to your strengths, and that's defensive pressure.
Yep, and if we can get into the defensive pressure early and get them to not, you know, knock them out of their sets a little bit and not let them get comfortable in their half court, then that's where we can flourish. And we did it for a half last game, but we just didn't have it the whole game. So hopefully we can do something.
Well, of course, that's at 7 o'clock coming up on Monday night. Good luck to the Bays that, and we'll be pulling for you. Congratulations on 2 district championships.
You.
Thanks for coming by.
Yep,
it's great to have you on here to talk about Brimley basketball, because, you know, you look at it now, you're one of the few still alive in the area. Of course, there's a few other teams, but it's always nice to be able to win that district title, because, as Pat Bennon says and many coaches and yourself have said, it ain't easy to do, and you have to enjoy it.
It is not easy to do.
But I know you're enjoying it, and we'll be pulling for you on Monday. Thanks again for coming into the Sioux and talking with us.
No problem.
Matt Beathy, the head coach of the Brimley girls basketball team, and we'll be back with What's on Deck and to close up shop on Coach's Corner at 11:54 here on the corner as the Brimley Bays will play Munising coming up again on Monday at 7 o'clock. We'll be back with What's on Deck coming up in 2 minutes. This is Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOL. And we're back here on Coach's Corner. It's time for What's on Deck before we close up shop here at 11:57 here on the corner as we have finished another Coach's Corner here. From Applebee's, our good friends and, of course, hosts, Dave Watson, our broadcast engineer, has been Boo Hibbard today. Laker hockey at St. Thomas, 6:35, or make it 7:35, with the pregame puck drop at 8 from St. Paul, St. Thomas, and the Lakers. If the Lakers win tonight, they win that series. Tomorrow will be 7:35 if the Saints win to force a Game 3. Sioux Greyhounds tonight, home to Windsor, 6:35. Over on Rock 101. Pistons basketball home to Dallas tonight, 7 p.m. on News Talk 1400. Red Ring hockey, 9:45 from Vegas on Radio Sioux. Wings in a four-game losing streak. They need to win tonight. Monday night, Piston basketball hosts Charlotte at 7 on News Talk 1400. Tuesday at noon, Laker hockey show as head coach Damon Witten, voice of the Lakers, Billy Crawford, Matt Pocket as the Pocket Rocket, and player interviews and a cast of thousands on hand, noon to one, Laker hockey show, of course, on News Talk 1400. Red Ring hockey home to Buffalo, 6:45 on Tuesday as well. And Wednesday at Sioux Greyhounds hockey at Flint, 6:35 on Rock 101. Pistons on Wednesday at, it will take on Toronto at home, 7 o'clock on News Talk 1400. Thursday, Arizona at the Red Rings, 6:45 on Radio Sioux. Friday, it's Greyhounds hockey at London, 6:35 on Rock 101. Pistons basketball in South Beach taking on Miami on News Talk 1400. Laker hockey, if they win tonight, this weekend, they will be in action on the road again next week in the playoffs on today's Hits 99.5 Yes FM. Time to close up shop here on this week's Coach's Corner. Thanks to our guests, Sioux AAA Indians hockey front office guys, Rick Big Daddy Corbier and Jerry Harwood, head coach of the Brimley girls basketball team, Matt Bathey, as well. Coach's Corner from Applebee's will return next Saturday morning at 11:05 a.m. and till noon. And replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Today, March 9th, would be the birthday of my mentor, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him and my good buddy, the late John Bell, Johnny Michael Bell. Oh, David, he, of course, would have his birthday today on March 9th. We lost John a few years ago. So happy birthday to good old Mick Bell up above us there. It would be Johnny Michael Bell's birthday here today on March 9th. And, of course, replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. For today's broadcast engineer, Boo Hibbard, I'm Dave Watson saying that will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.